Uncle Coop here. Before you get into this episode, just know you're about to listen to an ad because I need to see if adding ads is actually helpful. So be advised, the next thing you're going to hear is an ad, and then we'll jump right into the new episode of Self-Interrogation Podcast with your host, Uncle Coop, your favorite uncle's favorite uncle. Welcome to Self-Interrogation. I'm your host, Uncle Coop, your favorite uncle's favorite uncle. And in this podcast episode, you can call this an intro to the episode, I'm going to share my story of how I was falsely accused of attacking someone in college. Okay. And despite the accusations that were made against me at that time, camera footage later emerged to prove the truth of the situation. And so today I will recount the details of that day and discuss how I was able to defend myself against the false claims. So let's get started. Here's the story, and I've only told a handful of people of this in my life, and I don't know why. I've never discussed it really, nor why it even popped up into my head today, but it can make for an interesting story, so why not throw it on the podcast? All right, so here we go. Back in 2001, I transferred schools for one semester of college. And I can tell you that this one semester of college changed the whole trajectory of my life in a good way, okay? All good. And though this was by far my most challenging semester of college, when it came to my actual education, overall, things went well, and it helped lead me to where I am today in life. However, there was one person and one event that didn't make for a good couple of days with the college powers that be, okay? See, there was this girl. There's always a girl, right? Now, look, I don't remember her name. I don't remember how we ever first came in contact with each other, but she was a friend of a friend, or a friend of friends. And so at times she was just around. Okay. Now this girl had one of those, I'm better than everyone because I'm from New York City type of attitudes. Probably because she was from New York City and was brought up by some pampering family in the belief that she was better than everyone because they were from New York City. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is she didn't care for me because I was not one of the guys out there kissing her ass because of her appearance and had no issue with telling her that she had a shit personality and a terrible attitude towards other people. See, I've always had this. Like, I just can't hide my feelings for terrible people. And so, same as I will now, I then told terrible people they were terrible, and she was one of them. Okay, so look, this didn't sit well with her. And let's be honest, it wouldn't sit well with just about anyone. But look, being confronted with who we truly are as people when we are actively being the worst person ever, it just doesn't go over well for most of us. And that's what was happening. But look, getting back to the story at hand. So this lady and I would always have these arguments, but they were always in groups, okay? So I had zero reason to ever be around her outside of our friends. Then one day, I'm on the third floor of the dorms in one of the open gathering type rooms. I don't know if you've had like those student sections where you could just go hang out, read, study, watch the paint dry on the wall, or even, you know, have makeshift parties until the floor leader came to complain or disperse the groups. You know, like if you've gone to college, stayed in dorms, you've probably been in this general area. So I'm in there one day watching the paint dry on the wall alone, like a real winner. And this New York princess prances her way in and starts in with her shit talking. Me being the immature young man I was, I just start talking shit right back. Now, sitting calmly in my seat, but definitely spewing out unsavory choice words that only my mother would have been proud of at the time. I got my best material from her. Okay. Thanks, Mom. So anyways, we yap, we scream, we talk shit. It ends, you know, typical love story type stuff. The next day in class, I get a letter brought in to go and see the office authorities. Okay. Now, I have zero knowledge as to why. Nothing's clicked in my head at this time. So I get there, and immediately I'm told that I'm probably going to be suspended, and they just wanted to prepare me for that, and should I need to make arrangements to move back home. Now, little did they know, I guess, I already had a home off campus 10 minutes down the street because I didn't live in the dorms. You would think they would know that. But they weren't the brightest bunch, so I forgive them for not knowing who actually lived on their campus. Now, back to the accusations. Yes, accusations. Early that morning, the Queen of New York and all of the lands beyond had taken it upon herself to go and file a report saying that I had grabbed her by the arm and tossed her into a seat during our peaceful conversation. Now, to be fair, they weren't immediately taking her side or believing anything that she said, okay? They were simply informing me of what had been reported from her and what could happen, okay? So here's where my big win came into play. This female dictator that had expanded beyond her borders failed to realize that the dorms had cameras in the halls and in the common area where we had just been conversing peacefully. She had been so prioritized with giving me my orders to drink bleach, swallow a razor blade, you know, all those nice things, that she missed that when I was, you know, watching paint dry, I was actually, you know, looking in the face of Big Brother, surveillance, the spy in the sky, if you want to call it. Or, you know, in this case, you know, the dried up paint that would be my savior. So, see, at this point, it was her word against no word because I had made no words. I gave no statements. I simply asked a question. I said, did you already pull the tape from the cameras in the dorm? Of course, they had not. And why would they? You know, we get cameras for no reasons, right? Why look at the cameras? So why try to get all the facts up front? Well, I was sent home and told to come back the next morning to discuss all these things in the office with the Queen Bee. So I did. The next morning, I come to the office as I was directed, and I find it was just me and, you know, the regular college leadership. Okay. They advised me that, hey, go ahead and go to class. There's not anything you're going to have to worry about. No suspensions are going down, at least not for me. So turns out, thanks to me asking, had they watched the tape? They went and watched the tape. And they'd seen the whole come to Jesus conversation that my ruler and I had been having, and they realized that this girl was a menace to society. Why was she a menace to society? Because anyone willing to lie in such a way to attempt to ruin someone else's education, career, whatever, that type of person is sick in the head, okay? And clearly she was okay with, hey, you know what? Here's an opportunity where our friends aren't around to take up for Coop. So let me go and, you know, let me go make up some stuff. So here's the beauty. I never saw her again. She had been told to never come near me again. And, you know, as they saw in the tape, how she had approached me, the body language, and of course then the false accusations, I don't know if she was suspended or not. I just know that we never crossed paths again. And at the end of that semester, I transferred back to the college that I had come from originally. And so outside of the encounters that I had with this woman, things had gone really well with my experience. And, you know, I tell this story and I think of how often people complain about being watched by cameras. They complain about being tracked and people knowing, you know, where you are and what you're doing. I personally have never complained of these things because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm out here just living life the way a law-abiding citizen is supposed to, you know, from the time I was a kid until now. Maybe other people are worried and they complain about being watched or surveillanced because, yes, it is a, you know, breach of privacy or whatever, but like maybe they're also planning on doing something wrong and they just don't want to get caught. Doesn't mean they're planning on breaking the law, but maybe they're going to do something shady or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. It's never impacted me. And so with that, I just end this episode of self-interrogation with a verdict of not guilty, thanks to Big Brother. And so with that, I'll ask, you know, do you have a problem with surveillance? Have you ever found it beneficial in your case like I have here? And it's funny how, like, you know, when this happened, this is, again, this was 2001. The quote-unquote Big Brother wasn't a thing. People watching our every move, I don't think it was something that we were worried about with the state of technology at the time. But now, obviously, it's everywhere. You know, like, anywhere you go, there's cameras, you're being watched, and then most people have a camera in their pocket. You know, odds are if you're listening to this, you're listening to it on your phone or your tablet, which probably has a camera. Okay, good stopping point. Thank you, Big Brother. I appreciate you. Thanks for everyone who listened. And again, it's Uncle Coop, your favorite uncle's favorite uncle. And yes, I am a real uncle. Talk to you again soon.